This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
After the Hugh Grant prostitution scandal, where he does his first television interview with Jay Leno, and Jay Leno asks the question, "What the hell were you thinking?" For the second time in this campaign, I've got to ask the same question about Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem is the governor of South Dakota, and if you're not familiar with her, she, I think by any objective measure, is a very attractive woman. She has a pretty good record to run on for national office as a Republican in South Dakota. She's got a record that's conservative, but it's not crazy conservative. She's got one of those records that that doesn't really alienate moderates if you're Republican inclined. She's not totally, you know, all dyed in the wool Trump, but she's also not never Trump. She checks a lot of boxes in terms of the right. And as I've said, she speaks well. She looks good on camera. She's very good on television. So because of all that, and because she was one of the first states to reopen during COVID, she's been at the top of a lot of people's list to be Trump's running mate this time around. Then there's this story about this sex scandal, not sex scandal, but an adulterous affair that she might have been involved with Corey Lewandowski. You would think that might sink your chances with national office. The one exception, if there's one candidate that may not care about that, it's Donald Trump, because I think Trump kind of really likes the drama. Then, I covered this extensively at the time, she does basically an infomercial as the sitting governor for a cosmetic dentistry company in Texas. I thought that was wildly inappropriate for a sitting elected official. She basically sounded like a radio talk show host doing a personal endorsement for a dentistry. Okay. Put that aside. What we have learned in the last 3 days is just, it's just insane. It is just insane. If you haven't heard about this, listen carefully. I'm going to read you the facts as I know them. And I'm going to, and if you have heard about this, just bear with me. Kristi Noem, a strong contender to be named Trump's running mate, has admitted killing a dog of her own. She writes in a new book, quote, "Cricket," it's a dog's name, "was a wire hair pointer about 14 months old." And she adds that the dog is a female and had an aggressive personality and needed to be trained to be used for hunting pheasant. What then unfolds over the next few pages is just crazy. Basically, she describes how the effort to train her to hunt pheasant went horribly wrong, and remarkably, how Cricket was not the only domestic animal that Noem chose to kill one day in hunting season. So she includes the story about how she had to kill Cricket. And then she goes, I don't mean to laugh, but it's just why anybody would ever admit this is beyond me. But then she goes farther and she says she owned a male goat that was nasty and mean because it had not been castrated. Furthermore, the goat smelled disgusting, musky, rancid, and loved to chase Gnome's children, knocking them down and ruining their clothes. Gnome decided to kill the unnamed goat the same way she had just killed Cricket the dog. But though she dragged him to a gravel pit, the goat jumped as she shot and therefore survived the wound. Now, this is like the kind of thing you'd expect an investigative reporter to expose. Not the kind of thing you'd ever expect anybody to admit to. But she's admitting badly wounding a goat. Picture a goat that's been shot and how gruesome that is. And then the goat jumped as she shot and survived the wound. Gnome then says she went back to her truck, retrieved another shell, then hurried back to the gravel pit and put him down. At that point, Gnome writes, she realized a construction crew had watched her kill both animals. When I read this excerpt from the book, all I'm saying is please, please don't tell me she shot the construction crew. Don't tell me she shot the construction crew because they saw what was going on. There was an episode of Breaking Bad that was like that. I said, please don't let this lunatic be writing a confession that she shot some construction workers. The startled workers swiftly got back to work. Oh, ain't nothing to see here. Oh, no. She writes, only for a school bus to arrive and drop off Gnome's children. Kennedy looked around confused. That's her daughter. And she asks, hey, where's Cricket? That's the dog she just killed. The daughter's asking, where's Cricket? Oh, sorry, honey. Mommy shot her and then killed a goat and intimidated a construction crew with the gun. This is absolutely insane. I mean, I'm a dog lover, and admittedly, I didn't grow up in a rural community where I was expected to do things like kill uncastrated goats. I like cities. I like pavement. I like sidewalks. I like urban environments. I can understand the appeal of rural life. What I can understand is why someone that wants to be taken seriously as a political figure would ever admit any of what she just admitted, killing a dog and a goat. Now, let's assume that you think she did nothing wrong, which I don't understand that at all. Because also the way that she writes about this dog, she's saying, oh, I hated that dog. Oh, that dog. You don't get the sense that this is James Cromwell in Babe, very reluctantly being poised to kill an animal. Why in the world would you tell this story to begin with? And the other thing, I don't know who published this book, but what publisher or what editor reviewed the material and said, hey, you know what? Absolutely. Well, let's include that in the book. What publisher reviews this and doesn't think that it would create a huge problem, not only for the book, but for her? Why didn't one of her advisors warn her against publishing this story? I don't know if she has advisors. I mean, I'm assuming she's got somebody that she listens to, even if it's a friend. But you got to assume there's somebody on her staff that okayed this book before it was published. And anybody that looked at this book before it got published should absolutely be fired. Because let's say she was on the short list to be Trump's vice president. That is absolutely not happening. I know Trump is not a dog guy, but I have to think he understands the poor look of killing puppies and goats. All the media would have to do is label her a puppy killer, and the election would be over. Do you remember when Willard Mitt Romney got in trouble for having his dog Seamus ride on top of his car? People didn't like that. I didn't like it. This is 900 times worse than anything Willard Mitt Romney did. This is a story that transcends politics entirely. In the court of public opinion, she will now and forever be viewed as a puppy killer. And her response is so bizarre to me. No apology. No, this was a tough decision. Nothing. I don't understand. Forget about being vice president. I don't understand how she recovers from this for her own, any kind of public future. I mean, the question I'm asking is, let's say the puppy couldn't hunt pheasant. Why wouldn't you just put this dog up for adoption? Why wouldn't you just bring it to a shelter? Put this poor dog up for adoption. But even if that's not what you do in South Dakota, why would you tell anybody this? Even me, whose entire life is an open book on the radio, there are some things I've done in my life that I'm not proud of. They don't immediately come to mind. But the things that I am embarrassed about, I don't really make a habit of sharing with the public. How could she share this? I mean, even if you don't want to put the puppy up for adoption or give the puppy away to somebody, why not just decide on a more humane way to end this dog's life? How about bring it to a vet and having the dog put to sleep? And then I'm not even getting to the goat. Shooting this poor goat twice. I just think this is just terrible. I almost think, and I'm not joking here when I say this, and if you want to weigh in, please do, because this is one of those stories. You know, when we talk about foreign affairs, when we talk about actual affairs involving women, when we talk about trials, when we talk about anything, taxes, I can usually understand the why, okay? So-and-so is voting to ban TikToks. TikTok, this is what they say. This is what the real reason is. Boom. Okay. So-and-so wants to go to war with Ukraine. This is what they say. This is what the real reason is. Boom. This is one of those stories where I just don't understand. I don't understand why she would do it. I don't understand why she would tell anyone this. I don't understand how a publisher could publish this. I don't understand how every member of her staff wasn't fired. I don't know how she thinks this helps. I saw one theory that said, oh, yeah, you know, Trump likes a fighter. And this is her way of showing that she likes a fighter. Whoever advised Noam to try to look tough, and if this story was an attempt to look tough, should never work in any sort of public relations capacity or political capacity at all. Because in the hours after this story broke, Noam's standing in the predicted betting market to be the Republican nominee for vice president totally tanked. She went from narrowly trailing Tim Scott among speculators to now fourth place behind Congresswoman Elise Stefanik and former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. And now, people who didn't know Kristi Noem, they know her as a puppy killer. Am I missing something here? Let me know what you think. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. By the way, for those of you that are paying attention to the Veep Stakes, they now say the guy that's doing really well at the moment is actually Kristi Noem's neighbor to the north, Doug Burgum. Doug Burgum and his wife had dinner with Donald and Melania, and apparently he views Burgum as kind of a Pence type, basically, in terms of what he brings to the table. And I just, I think she shot herself in the foot here. Not literally. I got to be careful with my gun references with Kristi Noem, but figuratively. What do you think? 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. I think this is awful. Absolutely awful. Oh, there's a bunch of other stuff I wanted to get to, but let me get to your calls first. 800-848-9222. Let me begin with Ron in Michigan. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Frank. Frank, she killed a lot of her dogs, I understand, because they don't hunt. And she makes the perfect presidential candidate, in my opinion, for Trump, because she's already steeped in the bloodbath of dogs. So she's a perfect candidate.
Well, I mean, obviously, I think, thanks, Ron. I think you're obviously doing a little shtick here because you don't like Trump and that kind of thing. But putting aside Trump, Biden, the politics of this at all, how does she think this is a good image for her to put out there to the country? She's clearly looking, even if she's not on the ticket this year, she clearly has national aspirations. I think those national aspirations have totally evaporated with the publishing of this story. 800-848-9222. David, what do you think?
Yes, good morning. I think you might be right about her career being over. And I think one of the main reasons is, when this first came out, she started tweeting, and I don't know how she ended up in my Twitter feed because I don't follow her, and I still call it Twitter too. But she put out a defiant tweet criticizing the media for making a big deal out of it.
Right.
And then she put out another tweet basically trying to make excuses for doing it. And I think she put out a third tweet, which is kind of like, well, this happened 20 years ago, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Any person that would do something like that, to me, he can never run for public office again. I think it shows a sadistic streak, a mean streak, and also a tone deafness, the way that she's handled it. I don't know if she's taking advice from Corey Lewandowski or somebody else, but she needs a new communications person, because I would tell her just to shut up, pretend it didn't happen, and don't answer any questions about it, because the more people are reminded about this, the worse it's going to be. I mean, the only thing I could think of that's even close to this, and I don't know if you remember this, Mitt Romney supposedly took a cross-country...
Right, Seamus. I mentioned the Seamus incident. Yeah.
Right, and he put the dog on top of his car and all this stuff. I mean, that hurt him politically. This is not something, and I know some people have said, well, maybe this helps it with Trump because Trump doesn't like dogs. I think Trump is very sensitive to polling and public perception.
If the one,
and
the,
he's going to look at...
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, please.
No, I was just going to say, the one thing I was going to say with Trump, even if people don't like Trump and think he was the worst president ever, and I know there's plenty of people that do, the one thing that you have to give Trump credit for is the guy is a brilliant marketer. The guy understands what rates with people. He knows how to read a room, whether the room is 20 people in front of him, a rally of 2,000, or, you know, a national audience. He understands that being labeled a puppy killer is not something that's good for your brand.
Right. I agree. And let me just finish with this, Frank. I saw her on, not saw her, listened to her on CNN last week. I guess lucky for her, this came out this week. But she had talked about her stance on abortion, which I thought was problematic. And I wasn't impressed with her way of defending her position. So again, to go back to this dog thing, I think the less she says about it, the better off she'll be, because I don't think there's a way that she can come out and defend this verbally that's going to make her any more appealing to Trump or anybody else.
Yeah, I agree, David. David, thank you. 800-848-9222. You know, I mentioned Trump and his ability to know an audience. And I hate to joke around about something so serious, but he does. And it is funny. You know, Bill Barr, who's the former attorney general under both President Bush 41 and President Trump, he has been very critical of Donald Trump, both as a person and as a boss, and been very critical. But he said, and John Catsimatidis cited this a week ago, he said he's still going to vote for him again. So he was on CNN with, I think it was with Caitlin Collins again on Thursday. And he reiterated, he said that he, even if Trump's charged, even if he's convicted, he's voting for Trump.
So just to be clear, you're voting for someone who you believe tried to subvert the peaceful transfer of power, that can't even achieve his own policies, that lied about the election even after his attorney general told him that the election wasn't stolen. And as the former chief law enforcement in this country, you're going to vote for someone who is facing 88 criminal counts.
Well, look, The 88 criminal counts, a lot of those are, in my, and I've said...
Even if 10 of them are accurate?
The answer to the question is yes. I'm supporting the Republican ticket.
So there you have it. He says he's still voting for him. So in reaction to that, and this is what I really wanted to read you, Trump, you know, and this is where Trump really misses out by not being on Twitter, because there's so few people on Truth Social. And I know he's got to be on there because he's trying to jump up the stock price. And if he wasn't on there, there wouldn't be anybody on Truth Social. But this is the kind of thing that you're missing if you're not on Truth Social, which I'm not. I only read about this through media reports. I don't even know what the verb is for Truth Social. What did he truthed? He didn't. What we used to say is he tweeted, but there, I don't even know if that's appropriate now. He posted the following. Wow. Former Attorney General Bill Barr, who let a lot of great people down by not investigating voter fraud in our country, has just endorsed me for president, despite the fact that I called him weak, slow moving, lethargic, gutless, and lazy. That's what he posted on Truth Social. And then he adds, based on the fact that I greatly appreciate his wholehearted endorsement, I am removing the word lethargic from my statement. Thank you, Bill. I mean, the guy is a showman. He gets what an audience responds to. And I guarantee you, he knows that being labeled literally a puppy killer is not going to bode well for him. You know, I remember when Rudy Giuliani was running for president, his wife at the time, Judith Nathan, it came out that she was involved in some puppy killings or puppy dissectings, and that didn't work out well for Giuliani. Didn't matter that he didn't have anything to do with it, wasn't married to her at the time. It was a very negative story for him, and it was part of a downward slide in that presidential campaign. And this is going to be bad news for Christine Noem. I don't know that she can't recover from this, but I think this is going to be something that takes years. I think, honestly, if you ask the average rank and file Republican, who would you rather vote for something, George Santos or Christine Noem? Honestly, I think they're telling you George Santos. Seriously, people love dogs. They love animals. And she could have easily put this dog up for adoption. Instead, she chose to kill it and brag about it, which defies comprehension to me. What do you think? 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Tony, am I off base on this one?
No, because everybody, you know, what she did was cruel to the dog, you know, no matter what. Okay, that messes up her whole reputation. So I'm with you on this.
Now, maybe I'm missing out never having lived in a rural state. Matt Blaze, where do you come down on this issue? Am I showing my big city bias on this one?
It was just cruel. You said it right when you said, why not just take the dog to be adopted or try to find someplace else this dog can go? Supposedly, she tried to train the dog, and the dog bit people. And that is why she took the steps to kill the dog. But you could have done it a little bit more humanely, or just given the dog up to somebody else. You didn't have to kill the dog.
You know, there was a story about President Biden's dog biting all those Secret Service agents. And, you know, if they were, apparently they tried to get that dog whipped into shape and they couldn't do it. And I think that's why the dog's not living at the White House now. Maybe they should have just threatened that dog with going to live with Christine Noem. I bet you that dog would have straightened up in a hurry. 800-848-9222. Bob in Baltimore, what do you think?
Oh, Frank, oh, no, absolutely. I had many relatives that were hunters, you know, and they would never do anything like that. But I can kind of compare her with Michael Vick. I think she's just psychotic.
Well, I think I think if Michael Vick ran for vice president, he would have a tough time, too. But you know what the difference between her and Michael Vick is? Michael Vick got caught. Christine Noem put this story out there to the public herself.
There's just something not right there. And Frank, it reminds me of things about these politicians. It's like, not to get into a long thing, I can't, but it's like these politicians, we really don't know a lot about them. I mean, one time we had a Speaker of the House who was a child predator, Dennis Hastert. We knew nothing about it.
Anything away from him. Well, the thing is, and thanks for the call, Bob. I mean, not to make this whole Denny Hastert discussion. Again, Denny Hastert's another guy who was caught. Again, it was after he was out of office. But I guarantee you, I mean, look, this is not a crime. You're allowed to kill a dog, especially in a state like South Dakota, I imagine. But I don't think Denny Hastert would have advertised what he was doing. Again, I don't think it's the same league at all. But what I was going to say before is, I honestly think that puppies are so popular in America that you can have an easier time explaining killing a human than killing a puppy and shooting a puppy. Honestly, I'm not joking. You know, Laura Bush, if I'm not mistaken, killed someone. It was accidental. And, you know, I don't think there was any suggestion of criminality, but people got over it. People thought, okay, all right, she killed somebody. Accidents happen. I don't think this is the kind of thing that the American public's going to forgive so easily. And I guarantee you it means she's not going to be vice president this year. Guarantee that. 800-848-9222, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. This is the great George Harrison singing My Sweet Lord. This is a birthday bumper music selection from none other than our very own Philippe. Philippe, who used to sit in the Matt Blaze chair, who then was recruited to a big local morning show where he became Macedonia Phil until he ticked someone off. Now he's now working in the doldrums somewhere. A very competent radio professional and honestly a heck of a nice guy and very low drama. You know, there's like three things that I'm looking for in a radio co-worker. One, somebody that has some mild idea that they know what they're doing. Two, somebody that is not a problem. And when I say a problem, not even that they're going to be irascible and give a hard time. There's just no drama there. They're not going to be vomiting. They're not going to be showing up late. They're not going to be bursting into tears every 5 minutes. There's a lot to be said for no drama. And then third, he's past tense for our show, but he is a heck of a nice guy. So Philippe is three for three. No drama, very nice and very capable at his job. So happy birthday, Philippe. I hope all of your birthday wishes come true. 800-848-9222. Going to get back to your calls, talking about the Christine Noem situation in just a second. But I did have the opportunity. My wife and I on Saturday went to see Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street on Broadway. It was my wife's birthday maybe about a month ago. And for her birthday, we'll usually make plans to go see a show on Broadway. And it's really usually the only show that we'll see for the whole year. We'll see one, maybe two shows, but usually just the one. And so it's ending May 5th. So she wanted to see Sweeney Todd. My siblings had gone. My parents had gone, and everybody largely liked it. And we saw it on Saturday night. We really enjoyed it. We both really liked it. So the tickets that I got were a little farther away than I would have liked. We were in the mezzanine, but we still had a good view. But my wife's always putting so much pressure on me to not spend a lot of money, because it becomes very difficult to justify spending whatever on whatever when, you know, we have a tough time paying the bills in other areas. So I always have to kind of justify what I'm spending for our own enjoyment, because otherwise she would just not let us do anything ever. But so we got these tickets because they were not super expensive. And we saw the show on Saturday. The music is great. The performances were absolutely terrific, especially the male and female lead. The female lead is Sutton Porter, and the male lead was this terrific tenor. And I want to make sure I don't say his name incorrectly, but it was really the range on these actors was phenomenal. And the story I was already familiar with because it was, I had seen the motion picture, and it's very similar to the motion picture. But Aaron Tveit is the male lead, and I've seen him in some other shows. We saw him in Moulin Rouge last year, for which he actually won a Tony. But it was a really wonderful cast, really well done. We did see an evening show, so there were a couple of points in the show that I did drift off a couple of times. But I mean, you're talking a second here and a second there, and I don't think Rachel noticed, and I don't think anyone else noticed, because you know it's dark, and you know, and you're in these tiny little seats, and it's kind of comfy, it's warm, and my sleep schedule is all messed up. But I think the fact that I drifted off a couple times during the show is not an indication that it's not a good show. It's just an indication that I was tired. But I really, if you can get tickets to see it within the next 6 days before it leaves, I would recommend it, because it was, I thought, just phenomenal. So I think if you haven't seen the motion picture and you're not going to get a chance to see it on the Broadway, then the motion picture does an adequate job telling the same story. It is a little dark at times. You're dealing with a barber who has a murderous streak, but it was still a lot of fun. So I recommend it. 800-848-9222. Well, we have a first timer.
We're sorry.
Wyatt in California making his debut on this program. Hello, Wyatt.
Hello, Frank. Hey, what do I win being a first-timer?
You just win kidding. A giant case of satisfaction. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So listen, I live rural, and farmers and ranchers, if a dog or an animal starts to attack their animals, their farm animals, it's not uncommon for them to shoot a dog. And this happens out rurally. Perhaps in the city, you're not accustomed to this. The other thing is that I understand the story with Christy Noem is that yes, she had trouble training the dog, but then she had the dog out and the dog ran away from her to a neighboring farm and attacked some farm animals. And when she went to try to retrieve the dog, it attempted to bite her. So, you know, this isn't a cute little puppy for whatever reason, the dog acted as though it was not trainable. And so all my opinion is, this is, you know, this is normal. And as a matter of fact, you know, you're saying, oh, I got to spend $500 and take it to a veterinarian to have it euthanized. Nah, I don't think so.
So to me, there's two different aspects of the story. One, it's the story itself. And the second is why she would choose to disclose it. Let's talk about the first. In terms of the story itself, understanding, okay, why spend $500 when you could simply shoot the dog yourself? Why not put the dog up for adoption?
The dog was not trainable.
Right.
You're gonna risk having the dog injure somebody else, especially when it tried to bite her when she attempted to retrieve it? No.
Okay, and then
some dogs are untrainable.
All right, and then what about the second aspect? Do you think it's wise, given the perception of dogs in this country, do you think it's wise to tell this story?
Frank, you and I both know that anything that anybody does, if you rolled your window down at 40 miles an hour and spilled your coffee out the window, and you're running for office, somebody's going to bring that up.
Whoa.
So
Wyatt,
it would have been discovered no matter what.
Wyatt, but that's a big difference. There's a big difference between advertising the hatred of a dog and killing of a dog and a goat and someone seeing you spill your coffee out your car at 40 miles per hour. That's a big difference.
Let me tell you about goats. We had goats. At one particular, you know, a male goat is only good to impregnate a female goat. At one particular point, a couple of years down the road, the male goat started attacking the female goats. We tried to isolate it, and they have hard heads. It started, you know, battering the wood in the barn to try to get out. She took a hunting knife out and offed it. It's not uncommon.
Wyatt, I'm canceling my plans to have my retirement be on a farm. I guess that's it. I guess it's cultural. I guess I just don't get it. I'm pleading my own ignorance on this one. I don't get it. And, you know, a lot of the people that I've known that have a rural background, I don't know that they would have handled this the same way that Christy Noem did. But even if they did, for the reasons that Wyatt stated, isn't this kind of the thing that you'd keep close to the vest, that you'd keep discreet? To put in a book like this, how does her advisors let her do it? How does her publisher let her do it? I just don't get it, honestly. But I've said enough on it. I'd like to hear from you. 800-848-9222. Ilona, hello.
Hey, Frank. So I guess what do you do with your kids if you can't train them, right? She should have those animals that are left taken away. She should be investigated, and she should have her kids be investigated for child abuse. I think she's crazy. I think she's out of her mind. I think she's cruel. I think she's wicked. And so every animal that you get, you have to train the animal or you shoot it. This is nuts. And I'm going to tell you something. If Trump picks her as a VP, I'm not voting for him.
I don't see any way he picks her. Honestly, I don't see any way. But precisely because of that attitude that you just expressed, Trump, and again, I tried to make this point earlier, Trump is hip to what a lot of the public likes. And he knows, even if he's not a dog guy, he knows this would go over like a lead balloon. So, but which leads me to be, just to repeat, again, not to repeat myself, but which makes it so insane that she would put this story in a book. This wasn't dug up by some journalist. She's the one telling the public about it. Why do you think she would do it?
She's wicked. She's wicked. And like I said, she should be investigated for child abuse, animal abuse, and all the animals should be taken away from her.
Ilona, thank you. Look, I'm not going to say she should be invested for child abuse. I might agree that she is wicked. Okay. Again, there are certain things, being a city guy, that I don't get. This farm life is one of them, okay? So maybe shooting goats is more common than I'm aware of, but I still don't think this is the kind of story I would ever suggest to any politician that you tell. You know, honestly, we talk about how times change over time, and how what was okay in 1954 is not okay in 2004. What was okay in 1984 is not the same as what's okay in 2014.
I get all that. That being said, I think this story is so damaging that I don't think Lyndon Johnson would have told this story when he was running for office in the 50s. I don't. I mean, and Lyndon Johnson, you saw the guff that he got when he held up his dog by his ears. You can imagine he was kind of like Trump in that he knew what would go over well with certain audiences and what wouldn't. I can't see him telling this story about the goat. And it's not just what she did. It's the way she describes it, how she hated the dog. She kills the puppy. Then the goat, the construction workers get back to work right away. She picks up her daughter. The daughter says, "Where's Cricket?" I mean, even if she just left that aspect of the story out, it just makes her sound like such a beast. It really does. Because I'm picturing my son. He occasionally will mention our cats that have passed away. And I just think of how my wife tears up when my son asks about our cats that are no longer alive. And I just compare that attitude to someone that's so cold and calculating that they have no issue with killing two animals and then picking up their daughter and fielding that question and then writing about it. I just, to me, it's totally alien. 800-848-9222. Jay is in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Hi, Jay.
Good morning, Frank. So, rural America is quite different than the city, but I don't agree with shooting the dog because it's untrainable. Most people that have hunting dogs spend a lot of time and effort and love and caring and patience to train these animals, and they're amazing if you ever watch them how they work. And if the dog doesn't not able to hunt, you just should get it another home.
I mean, that's what I would think. But I said to, I said that to Wyatt. He said, you know, the dog was untrainable. What are you going to do? Well, let me play devil's advocate with you, Jay. What can you do if a dog is simply untrainable?
Okay, so my wife and I had a Rottweiler about 20 years ago, and this dog was great with one person in the room. If she would come into the room, he would turn into a maniac, and we could not stop him from doing this, and we almost got divorced over it. I told my wife, look, you brought this dog into the house, you got to find a home for it, because I'm not having it put down. And we found a farm for him to go to, and I felt better about it. So that's, in my opinion, that's what you do. But people in the country, they have a different view of animals. They're there to serve them, and if they don't, they're gone.
Thanks, Jay. 800-848-9222. Larry's in Bay Ridge. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Frank. You know, any politician that's attempting to elicit public opinion and admits readily to this in writing shows that she is either extremely insensitive or is just cruel and sadistic.
Yeah.
I mean, the term clubbing a baby seal comes to mind. There's so many animal lovers, especially dog lovers in this country. Who does she think she was going to impress with this story?
That's
got to be totally detached.
That's, to me, the aspect of this story which I find so inexplicable. Because, look, clearly she's been able to get elected governor several times. Clearly she's made...
Not anymore.
She's made a very good impression on the national political scene. So clearly she has some idea of what people want to hear. And to me, to publish this... This demonstrates an aspect of being tone deaf that I think is so rare for any political figure. Larry, thank you. We'll continue with your calls in a moment. 800-848-9222, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
$800-848-9222.
open eyes, closing both my eyes, waiting for surprise. To see the heaven in your eyes is not so far.
This is Stevie Wonder, Golden Lady. This is another birthday bumper music selection from Philippe, a.k.a. Macedonia Phil. Happy birthday to him. I hope all of his birthday wishes come true. You know, it's getting warm in our area now. It's going to be very hot today. So my wife makes dinner last night, and we're sitting down to dinner. And I see, just as we sit down, my wife, my son, and me, she says, oh, I said, what's the matter? She said, I forgot to open up the windows upstairs in our room and in Carmine's room. It's going to be so hot up there now. And she says, can you go do it? Absolutely. Before she even finishes asking, I'm running upstairs to go do it. And she says, can you also, we have a window fan that goes in windows. And it's kind of a neat thing. It's great before you put the air conditioning up. It's a great little thing. And she says, can you also put the window fan in Carmine's room? Now, those of you that are married, what would you do if your wife asks you exactly that? Can you put the window fan in Carmine's room? What would you do? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I simply put the window fan in Carmine's window, in his room, as asked. So we go back down to dinner. I have dinner, go on with the rest of our evening. And my wife goes upstairs for something. And she's all ticked off. And I said, what's the matter? She said, when I asked you to put the fan in Carmine's window, what did you think I was asking you to do? I said, well, I thought that you were asking me to put the fan in his window. Did you think maybe I would want you to turn it on and plug it in? And I said, well, no. I figured that if you wanted me to do that, that you would say, would you turn the fan on? Well, it turns out that not only did I misread that whole situation,
wrong,
but my very poor defense of my actions,
wrong,
went over like a lead balloon, because it turns out, it prompted a whole big discussion about how I have to be spoken to and every step of the way has to be dictated for me. It was,
what you say makes no sense.
It was honestly not the smoothest Sunday evening in the Morano household last night for that. But there you have it. Let that be a lesson to you. If you're ever in my position, don't necessarily take what she says literally. Sometimes you got to anticipate the next step. There you have it. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Oscar is in the Boogie Down Bronx. Hi, Oscar.
Yeah, how you doing? Great show, Frank. And great topic. The situation with the lady, right? She probably had that pup, right? Bred from a breeder. They specialize in animal husbandry. What they do is they get the pup, they sire a litter, right? And then she picks the pup for attributes that the parents had. So now if the attributes that the parents had were great hunting skills, right? Then this dog's not showing that. Then he's not a good what they do is they put him down. You know what I'm saying? And that's why she put it down, because that means that it wasn't a good litter. You know what I'm saying? And what they do is when they pick the litter, they pick one pup, and the rest of the litter, they put it down. So that's called animal husbandry.
Oscar, thank you. I have to end it there. Those of you that are holding, I'll try and get to you. I'm going to try and get to some other things as well. You know, someone messaged me, a couple of people, some version of, how does she know the dog is untrainable?
just because she can't train him. Isn't there some better trainer that she could have taken him to? I think this is really cruel and horrendous, quite frankly. Help control the pet population. Get your dog or cat spayed or neutered.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.